Let's now go to God's Word, and if you have your Bibles with you, kindly turn it with me to Mark chapter 1, beginning verse 40 through 45. I'll be reading from the ESV. It says, "And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity and the privilege you have given us as a church to display and declare the gospel in these communities around IT Park. We thank you for the children that you have brought and the mothers who attended yesterday in the VBS. We are praying, God, that you would save them as they have heard the gospel message. I pray that they would one day trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Father, as we study your word, as we see the heart of Christ, his heart of compassion, I pray that all of us in this church would truly reflect his heart in our lives. Lord, we give you glory and praise for the things that you will be accomplishing today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we will be studying a passage that records one of the most powerful and amazing miracles ever performed by Jesus. This is a wonderful account of Jesus healing a man with leprosy. Now, before we dive into our text, I believe it is important to note that the miracles recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are selective. And so whether it's healing disease, Jesus cleansing lepers, Jesus walking on water, him feeding the multitudes, all these miracles were included to validate the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and that what he says about himself and his mission are true. For example, in Matthew chapter 11, in Matthew's account, the healing of the lepers was one of the signs that Jesus mentioned that prove he is the Messiah. And as this narrative section opens in chapter 11 of Matthew, it gives us a reference to John's imprisonment, John the Baptist's imprisonment. And his genuine perplexity concerning the reports that were circulating about the deeds of Jesus. You need to understand, John's earlier predictions anticipated a messianic figure who would instigate God's vengeful wrath and judgment. So that was what John the Baptist anticipated. That was what he expected. And so while he was in prison, as he was contemplating on these things that Jesus was doing, he was healing people, he was teaching people, he thought to himself, is Jesus really the Messiah, or do we have to look for another? Because the Romans are still in power. They're still in control. Peace has not yet been realized by Israel. And so he sent word by his disciples, and we find this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 3. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? So even John the Baptist, while he was in prison, somehow had doubts about the identity of Jesus. And this is how Jesus answered them. Verse 4, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk." And can you read that for me? "Lepers are what? Lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." So Jesus' response calls for John to reevaluate his activity in terms of expectations, which are reminiscent to Isaiah's vision of the Messiah. Since Isaiah made many prophecies concerning what the Messiah would do, and that included his miracles, that he would heal people. He wanted John to realize that in him, God is fulfilling those prophecies, and that in him, God is manifesting a merciful response to the plight of his people. So this miracle that we will be studying today reveals that Jesus truly is the Son of God. But what I find fascinating about this miracle is not only the fact that Jesus is able to fulfill these prophecies concerning himself, but he is also able to reveal his heart to us. Here we get a glimpse of the heart of the Savior, and it is a heart of compassion. And as we study this miracle, I want you to realize that no matter what your situation is, no matter what you're going through in life, maybe you're going through some trials, I want you to know that you have a God, you have a Savior who completely understands what you're going through. And he's not only willing to help you, but he is able to help you. And for those of you who have not yet accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that as you see the love of Christ and his compassion on this poor leper, you know, you would put your trust and faith in him as your Lord and Savior. So let's join Jesus in this encounter with this poor leper. Let's watch him reveal his power and compassion. Mark tells us in verse 40, and a leper came to him. And so here, we're going to see the request of this leper. The leper came to Jesus one day, and perhaps he heard that Jesus has been performing miracles, he has been healing people, he's been casting out demons. And probably he heard that Jesus was passing by, and he said to himself, possibly, that, you know, if Jesus could heal those people, certainly he can heal me as well. So faith had been awakened in his heart, and faith was pushing him towards Christ. And notice what he said and did as he came to Jesus. Verse 40, and a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, the word implore here means to beg with strong pleas. And this really shows us the desperation of this poor leper. Now, for us to understand why this leper was so desperate, there is something we need to understand about his situation and his disease. First, leprosy affected the whole body. It usually begins with fatigue and pain in the joints. Then scaly spots would begin to appear on the skin. And as the disease progressed, the body would be covered with pus-filled nodules. Thus, the leper would be surrounded with a terrible stench constantly. And not only that, leprosy attacked the nervous system, compromising the body's ability to feel pain. So it's possible that a leper could step on a stone or a thorn and be completely unaware that there's a problem. As a result, infection would set in, and eventually the foot might just fall off. And it's also been said that rats would often chew on sleeping lepers. Try to imagine that. Also, lepers suffered greatly, and they usually died a horrible death. But I believe the worst aspect of leprosy was the social isolation it brought. You need to understand, during the Old Testament, a person with leprosy was considered ceremonially unclean. That's according to Old Testament law, and we find that in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46. It says, as long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone, and he must live outside the camp. And so when it was determined that a man had leprosy, they would banish him from the village. He cannot be with his family anymore. He had to leave his friends. He could not touch his family. His family could not touch him. Many families brought food and clothing for a while, but after a time, most families held a funeral service and regarded the afflicted person as a dead man. The Levitical law was also very clear in its commands to lepers. In Leviticus 13, verse 45, it says, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. So the leper had to tear his garments to indicate that he is a leper. Over his upper lip, he had to wear a cloth so he wouldn't spread the contamination. And every time he would enter a public place or every time he would see people coming towards him, he was commanded to cry, unclean, unclean. Think about how you would feel shouting unclean, unclean in a public place. Let's say you enter the mall or the grocery store and you're crying out, unclean, unclean. We can hardly imagine the humiliation and the isolation of this leper's life. In fact, Josephus, the famous Jewish historian, summarized by saying that lepers were treated as if they were, in effect, dead men. And by Jesus' time, rabbinical teaching with its absurd rules and regulations had made matters even worse for lepers. They added more restrictions, they added more rules to the law governing lepers. If a leper even stuck his head inside a home, that home would be pronounced unclean. It was illegal to eat with a leper. Rabbis used to pride themselves on avoiding lepers. One rabbi said he wouldn't eat an egg purchased on a street where a leper had walked. Another rabbi prided himself on throwing stones at lepers. And they made this rule that it was unlawful for a leper to approach within 50 feet of a clean person. Now that rule changed when it was windy. It was changed. The rule changed to 200 feet. So this ostracism, combined with a slow, painful death, made leprosy one of the most dreaded diseases in the ancient world. And that's the reason why this leper was so desperate as he approached Jesus. He was so desperate that he ignored the Old Testament requirement to keep his distance. See, this man risked stoning, humiliation, even death, just to be near Jesus. And by the way, in Luke's account, in chapter 5, he describes him as someone who was covered with leprosy. That means the disease had run its course. So can you try to imagine the reaction of the crowd as this leper began to push his way through just to be near Jesus, as he was crying out, unclean, unclean. The crowd must have scattered in horror. They must have scattered in different directions just to be able to avoid this man. It truly took great courage for this man to approach Jesus that day. He had to overcome several barriers just to be near Christ. So I want you to imagine the scene now. This poor leper is kneeling before Christ. He is imploring Jesus, and this crowd who is observing what is happening is stunned at this moment. I can't imagine that this leper violated many laws just to be able to be near Jesus. In Luke's account, it says he fell on his face. He not only went on his knees, but he went down on his face. He flattened himself in humble adoration before Jesus. And he tells Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. See, that statement alone reveals the faith of this leper. He had no doubt about Jesus' power. But the only thing he did not know was whether he willed to do it. That's why he says, if you are willing. He knows he has no claim on Christ. He knows he is defiled. He knows he is an outcast. He knows he is despised by men. He would view himself as cursed by God, since it was believed that leprosy was not just a human disease, but it was also divine punishment. He would be aware of his wretchedness and his own sinfulness. He knows that he does not deserve to make demands to Jesus. And so he makes this humble plea. And notice what he asks. He asks for cleansing. Now that is very important for us to understand. He doesn't say healing, but he says cleansing. Why would the leper ask this from Jesus? From his end, the defilement was worse than the disease. Yes, the disease was horrible, it was horrendous, but it was compounded by the fact that you have no ability to interact with anybody but the people who also have the disease. So this guy doesn't just want to be healed, he wants to be cleansed. That means he wants to be reunited with his family. He wants to be able to see his wife again or his children again if he had one. He wants to be able to join God's people in worship during Sabbath. In other words, he wants his life back. It was his hopeless condition that caused him to breach all laws and expectations as he came to Jesus. Now, at this point, he did not know what Jesus would do. He simply placed the matter on the Lord's hands. And so let's now shift our attention to Jesus. What would Jesus do? How would he respond? Well, Jesus does not run away from this leper. Jesus does not shoo him away. He doesn't step back to maintain proper distance. He doesn't shrink back in fear, as the rest of the people were doing at this time. He's not repulsed by his appearance or by his smell. The eyes of Jesus are fixed on this poor leper. Just think about that. What would he do next? Verse 41 tells us he was moved with compassion. In other words, he felt the man's pain. He felt the agony of social isolation and religious isolation. And by the way, when Jesus healed people, he didn't just heal people just to fulfill prophecy. He healed them because he cared about them. He's full of compassion. And that's something we should never forget, guys. Never doubt the love of God. Never doubt his compassion on needy people, on sinners. And his compassion stirred him to action. We are told that he put forth his hand and touched him. I don't know what this leper expected. Probably to be run off at best and stoned to death at worst. But imagine his surprise when Jesus touches him. When Jesus touched this poor leper, Jesus entered his world. It was a touch of compassion. It was a touch of connection. Jesus was saying, I understand. I care about you. I am with you here. I love you. Now, it is important to note that it had been years since anyone had touched this man. If he had a wife, he had not known her touch, much less her embrace for many, many years. If he had children, there had been no touch, not even once. He must have longed for a touch. It's very clear from Mark's gospel that the Lord delighted in touching needy people. There are 8 instances wherein Jesus touched people and healed them. In all those instances, Jesus did not have to touch them in order to heal them. He can just say the word, but he touches people to show his heart. He has a heart of compassion. And as Jesus touched this leper, the onlookers, the crowd, even the disciples at this very moment, they are stunned. They are shocked. Why? Because Jesus surprisingly touches the man, an action that would have rendered him ceremonially unclean. So can you hear the crowd gasp in shock as they see Jesus reaching out to touch this man? Somebody might whisper to another person, he's unclean now. Why did he touch this leper? Is he unaware about the laws that we have concerning lepers? Time stood still as Christ touched this man. Now, why did Jesus do this? Aside from the reason we have mentioned, to show his compassion, him touching the leper also had an overshadowing theological reason. By touching this leper, Jesus shows his authority over defilement. So we've seen the authority of Jesus over demons. We've seen his authority over disease. Here we see his authority over defilement. And this is so amazing, guys. The leper could not transmit the disease to Jesus. And rather being rendered unclean by touching the man, Jesus radically reverses the direction and brings healing and cleansing from defilement. And that leads us to the restoration of the leper. Verse 42. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Here the healing was sudden and it was complete. This is really remarkable, and I hope you're beginning to see a pattern here. Remember when Jesus casted out that demon, he just basically said, be silent and get out of him, and that demon had no choice but to obey the words of Jesus Christ. He also healed the mother-in-law of Peter in the same manner. And here Jesus just simply says, I will be clean, and instantly, suddenly, this man was completely healed. Jesus heals with his words and with his touch, and this crowd has not seen anything like this. You need to understand there is no medication that can restore what leprosy has eaten. It can't reverse the effects of the disease. But Jesus did not have those limitations. And so if the face of the leper had been disfigured, all of a sudden, his face was back to normal. If he lost his fingers and feet, they were instantly restored. If his eyebrows and eyelashes were gone, they suddenly were back. The ruined skin was instantly as smooth as a baby's. And he was not only well, but this guy was also fit. You see, if you have leprosy for years, it would take months or even years to be able to fully recover from it. But how do we know this man is not just well, but he's also fit? Well, Jesus commanded him to go to Jerusalem, to go to the temple, and to appear before the priests. From where he was, that's a 70-mile walk. And so when Jesus heals, no rehab is needed. This is amazing. The healing is immediate and complete. But more importantly, the man is not just healed of the disease, but cleansed from defilement. He's restored back to the community. He can see his family again, if he had one. He can see his friends again. He can worship with God's people again during the Sabbath. What a wonderful miracle this was for this poor leper. But we ask the question today, how does this miracle apply to us today? Because I'm sure no one here has leprosy. So why do we need to hear this? Well, I would answer that this way. In the Bible, leprosy is far more than a disease. The leper was like a parable of sin, an outward sign of innermost spiritual corruption. Well, no one here has leprosy. All of us here have a problem with sin. So allow me to point a few similarities between leprosy and sin. First, leprosy is deeper than the skin, and so is sin. See, the outward manifestations of sin are merely a window into the heart. The sinful actions that we commit proceed from the sinful heart. You see, a man isn't a sinner because he sins. Man sins because he is a sinner. He's totally depraved. That's what Paul says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, to illustrate this, let's say you have a watch, a beautiful watch. The problem with that watch is that it's not working. You have a problem inside the watch. Therefore, it needs a watchmaker to repair the problem, right? The change needs to happen within. So it is with the sinner. Quick external religious fixes won't do the job. The lost person needs a new heart. And as Jesus healed this leper instantly, if you come to him in faith and repentance, he can instantly change your heart. He will take away that heart of stone that has no affections for God, no love for God, and he will give you a heart of flesh, a heart that now beats for God, a heart that loves God. That's what God does when he saves a sinner. Second, leprosy starts out small, and then it spreads just like sin. Just as that leper may have seen a tiny white spot on his skin one day, it wasn't many days until his flesh was consumed by that disease. And that is a good picture of sin. Take David as an example. It was springtime, and that was a time where when kings were supposed to go to war. But he got lazy, he decided to stay home. And while he was in his palace, he saw a woman taking a bath. He saw Bathsheba. And you guys know the story. One thing led to another. He committed adultery, and eventually he killed Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. A little spot of laziness turned into adultery, an unwanted pregnancy, lies, and murder. So here's my point. When you don't flee from sin, when you don't flee from youthful lust, when you engage in inappropriate conversations or relationships, that temptation will grow. And it will eventually lead to adultery, it will eventually lead to fornication, or some other sin. When you make little compromises here and there, whether it's in your business, in your job, you're actually digging a hole for yourself that can become too deep for you to get out of. So the nature of leprosy, with its insidious beginnings, its slow progress, its destructive power, and the ultimate ruin it brings, makes it a powerful symbol of moral depravity. So the point is this: the spiritual reality for all of us is that we are spiritual lepers. Now clearly, there are no illusions in this leper's life. He knows his condition. He knows he is defiled. He knows he is a sinner. But unlike the leper, we are often unconscious of our sin and the pervasiveness of our sinful condition. And here I want us to see that sin controls people with two opposite lies. The first lie people believe is that men are not sinners and that nothing is wrong with them. When we share the gospel to them and when we talk about, you know, those verses that reveal man's total depravity, some of them might be offended and some might even say, "I'm okay, I'm not that bad. I'm very religious. I'm a good citizen. I'm a responsible dad. I'm a responsible mother." But again, sin is not an issue of what you do. It's an issue of what you fail to do, right? All of us cannot live a perfect life. And what is the greatest commandment, by the way? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you wake up every single day loving God with your all? Sure, everyone has failed in that area. But again, a lot of people don't accept this truth, and that's how the Duchess of Buckingham responded when she heard the gospel preached by George Whitefield during the 1800s. As George Whitefield emphasized on sin, the Duchess was very offended. She replied, "It is monstrous to be told that you have a heart as sinful as the common wretches that crawl the earth. That is highly offensive and insulting." Now, in response to that reply, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "It is a spiritual necessity to have a sense of sin for you to see your need of a Savior." He said this, and I quote, "Until you realize that your whole nature is wrong, you will never see your need of a Savior. Christ cannot help or comfort you until he has first of all saved you, until he has changed your nature." And so when we share the gospel to others, it's important that we start with the bad news before we talk about the good news. Because if we just talk about the good news, if we just talk about heaven or eternal life or forgiveness, they will not really see their need of a Savior. They might want the benefits of salvation, but that doesn't necessarily mean they want to be reconciled to God. And so we start with the bad news and we show them that, yes, we are sinners. We have fallen short of God's holy standard. And then we present the gospel to them and we tell them, this is what Christ did. This is what he accomplished in order to reconcile you to God and save you from the power and the penalty of sins. A second lie people believe is that when they do see they are sinners, they think they are so bad, they are beyond help. When they think about their life, their past life, they say, I am beyond forgiveness. Certainly no one can forgive me for what I did. There was this person who sought counseling from a pastor, and he said, I'm such a dirtbag, such a scum. How could he ever forgive me? So this pastor reached out to this man, shared the gospel to him, shared the love of Christ to him, the grace of God. And now he doesn't say that anymore because he has experienced forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ. And I just want to remind all of us today that Jesus is still touching lives today. Do you believe that? If you will come to him with a humble spirit and with a heart of faith, he will not turn you away. In fact, he will turn your life around. And have you experienced that? Maybe you can relate to that man who said, I'm such a dirtbag. No one can forgive me for what I did. But then someone shared the gospel to you and the Lord opened the eyes of your heart to see his grace, to see his mercy. And at that very moment, you were humbled by the fact that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, sent his only begotten son to save you. Do you remember that moment, church? Do you remember that time when you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember that time when you received his grace and his mercy? Let us never forget that. Let us never forget that moment. Because I believe as we constantly remind ourselves of the compassion of Jesus towards sinners like us, it will motivate us even more to live for him. And as a result, he would use our lives to be able to reflect his compassion and grace to those around us. And if you're here this morning and you say, I don't have hope, I don't know if Christ can save me, but remember this. If even when the leper showed some hesitation, we today have certainty in the fact that Jesus will not drive us away. Amen. Can we hold on to that truth and to that promise, church? Remember what Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never what? I will never cast out. That's a promise. Romans 10 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, you are not beyond his touch. Amen? You are not beyond forgiveness. There is hope for you, dear friend. Come to Christ. He will receive you. He will accept you if you put your faith and trust in him. The servant Savior has compassion for your leprous heart. And I want you to know that he does more than understand. He felt the full weight of your sin. He absorbed the full wrath of God in your place. And Jesus knew that the only way we could ever be taken from our isolation, because we were separated from God, the only way we could be brought into the presence of God was if he left the presence of God and went into isolation. And that's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Because Jesus was forsaken, because Jesus was treated as an outcast, we who are in Christ are accepted and welcomed into the presence of God. Amen. Can we give the Lord the glory for what he has done for us? So when the flesh and the devil says, you are not worthy to come to Jesus, well, they're right. But when they say he won't have you, they are dead wrong. Where the leper has hesitation, we have certainty. And so we should say, since you are willing, Jesus, I will be clean. Cleanse me now, Lord. No matter what you've done in the past, no matter what that sin is, no matter how ugly, no matter how dark, no matter how horrible, if you come to Christ, I want you to know that He's not only willing to cleanse you, but He is able to cleanse you through His blood. Amen? Believe that. Trust in that truth. And when Jesus touches a life, He gives the person He touches a new life instantly. As the leper was given a new body instantly, if you trust in Christ, He will give you a new life. He literally makes them into new creatures. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? He is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. Friends, if you are in Christ, you are no longer an outcast. Amen? You are no longer an object of God's wrath. You are now an object of His love. You are no longer unclean, but you have been made clean through the blood of Christ. Now that we have seen the request of the leper, the response of Jesus, and the restoration of the leper, let's take a look at the demand of Jesus. Jesus gives this leper two commands, a negative one and a positive one. First, He commands him, "See that you say nothing to anyone." Now, Jesus' command here is surprisingly strong, and this is very strong language. This is not a suggestion, by the way, but this is a very strong command. And if we are to paraphrase this, Jesus was saying, "I'm warning you, get out of here right now. Go and see that you say nothing to anyone." Now, previously, remember that time when Jesus silenced those demons? He told the demons, "Be silent." That means Jesus did not want to accept testimony from the demonic. But this guy is not demon-possessed. This man was cleansed from his leprosy, so why would Jesus not allow him also to talk about this miracle that he experienced? Well, Jesus was trying to avoid a circus-like atmosphere around his ministry. He wanted people to follow the message and not the miracles. Jesus knew that when more people would know about what He did for this man, they would just simply see Him as a miracle worker who grants all their dreams and wishes. And Jesus knows that a premature and misinformed revelation of His identity and His mission can create a hindrance to His mission. So Jesus tells him, "Don't tell anyone about this." And He gives him another command. He says, "But go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." So he was to show himself to the priest, and that was something that was commanded in the Old Testament. You find that in Leviticus 14, since only the priest could declare a person as clean or unclean. But aside from fulfilling the Old Testament requirements, there is another reason why he wanted the leper to approach the priest. And we find that at the end of verse 44. He says, "For a proof to them." In other words, Jesus wants this miracle confirmed by the priests. He wants the priests to have to face His power and His authority. You need to understand, these priests witnessed the holy anger and the righteous anger of Jesus Christ when He cleansed the temple. And maybe most of them have this attitude towards Christ. But if they face the reality that this leper is now completely healed, and if they still reject Christ, they would condemn themselves by their own findings. But if they believe that Jesus Christ was really the one who healed this leper and trust in Him as the Son of God, it will be because they have made the obvious connection, since the healing of lepers was a sign of the Messiah's power and authority. So they would conclude that this kind of power only belongs to God. And they would make this conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that He is God. That's what Jesus wanted to happen. But that's not what the leper did. And so we talk about the disobedience of the leper now. But when, verse 45, but he went out and began to what? Talk freely about it and to spread the news. The man's excitement gets the best of him, and he tells everyone that he met about the miracle that he experienced. And here's what happened. The man's disobedience eliminated the opportunity of Jesus to visit these towns in Galilee. Remember, after he healed Peter's mother-in-law and all those people who came to him, Jesus went to a desolate place to pray, and the disciples were looking for him. Where are you? Everyone's searching for you. They wanted Jesus to continually perform miracles in that place, but Jesus said, this is the reason why he came out, to preach the gospel to the next towns. That's what Jesus wanted to do. The miracles that he performed were only secondary. He wanted to preach the gospel because it was through the gospel that people would get to see who he is and what he would do for them. But because of the disobedience of the leper, Mark says, Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Now, Josephus tells us that in Galilee, there were about 240 towns. And I believe Jesus wanted to go to each town and proclaim the gospel, the good news. But because this leper disobeyed, Jesus could no longer enter each town. But he was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. They were coming to him from everywhere. Out to the wilderness, out to the mountainside, to the Sea of Galilee, out to the valleys, out to the fields. And all they wanted at this point was healing. Healing, healing, healing. That's all they wanted. And Jesus knows that physical healings are temporal at best. The healing heart of Jesus was not as interested in physical healing as in spiritual healing. What Jesus emphasized was the healing of the spirit of men. He wants to free us from the power of sin. He wants to heal us from bitterness. And I want you to know, if you're struggling with a particular sin, whether it's lust, pride, bitterness, covetousness, materialism, idolatry, I want you to know that if you come to Jesus right now, he is able to heal you and cleanse you from all those sins. This is where Jesus' heart was. And so as we conclude this sermon, where does this message find you today? Are you like this poor leper before he was cleansed, afflicted and devastated by sin? You want to change your life. You want to be new. You want to be transformed. But it seems like no matter what you do, you're still the old person. No change has taken place. I want you to know there is hope for you today. And hope's name is Jesus. You can come to him, you can trust him, you can depend on him, and he will forgive you and he will save you and cleanse you. Or maybe you're someone who has been cleansed already. You have trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior. But maybe somehow you have taken the gospel for granted. And maybe right now you're spiritually lukewarm. You've lost your zeal for God. You've lost your passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not spending time with him anymore. You're no longer praying. You're no longer meditating on his word. You're so preoccupied with worldly things, with worldly pursuits. Let me just remind you, Christ cleansed you. And he cleansed you for a purpose. He cleansed you that you may live for him. He cleansed you that you might get to know him more and love him and be his hands and feet in this world. And you just think about what Christ did for you. Are you grateful for that? Today is a good time to just thank God. Lord, thank you. I remember that time when I came to you and you cleansed me, you saved me, you forgave me. Be thankful for that. Or maybe like this leper, you have been cleansed, but there are areas of disobedience in your life. Jesus commanded you to do something, And you know God has spoken to you through His Word, and maybe even through this message, but you're procrastinating. You're delaying your obedience. Remember, delayed obedience is still disobedience. God wants you to obey right now. Repent right now. And maybe the reason why the Lord can't use you is because you're not a clean vessel. There's compromise. There's sin in your life. Yes, God wants us to serve Him, but remember this. God is more concerned about our spirituality than our activity. It's possible that you're so busy doing so many things for the Lord or for people around you, but if your heart is not right with God, and that's something that you need to bring to the Lord in prayer and ask God, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me. Give me the strength to obey You right now. What is that sin that You need to give up, that You need to denounce right now? Today is the time, guys, that we need to do that. If there's any sin or compromise in our lives, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, He cares. I want you to know He is ready to reach into your life and touch you at the very point of your need. He stands ready to help you. He will simply come to Him in faith, as the poor leper did. So will you do that? Will you say, I know You are willing, Jesus. Make me clean. If you believe that, then do it now. Let's pray. Father God, Your Word is just so rich. It's full of timeless truths, oh God. Though no one here has leprosy, Your Word is still ministered to us in a real and personal way, because we know we all have problems with sin. And we know only You, Jesus, can cleanse us from any sin. And so I pray, Father God, that we would not doubt Your love, we would not doubt Your compassion, that we would come to You in faith and humility, just like this leper, and say, because You are willing, Jesus, make me clean now. Forgive me from all my sins. I repent from all these sins, God, and I want to follow You wholeheartedly. I want to obey You completely. I want to be totally surrendered to You. I pray that would be the desire of our hearts today, Lord. And I pray that as You have cleansed us with Your blood, refresh us, Lord. Renew us, O God. Renew our minds. Revive our hearts. Because You saved us for a purpose, Lord. You saved us that we may bring glory to Your name. You saved us that we may get to know You and love You more. So we thank You, Lord. We thank You. We thank You for Your great love for us. We thank You for what You have accomplished today, and we thank You for the privilege You have given us to give our grace gifts and our tithes and offerings. Lord, use it for the glory of Your name. And whatever has been achieved today, we give You back all glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.